Hello, good evening.
We're hello, live. Everybody.
It's us. It's insane asylum. We're all insane. Send us to the asylum, especially the one in the cowboy hat.
Yeah, no. We're still waiting for your straitjacket to arrive.
We're supposed to have a guest this evening, but Joe, you said he's running a little behind.
Yeah, he's from Beyond the Woodland podcast.
Cool.
Oh, he should be here soon. So in the meantime, what do you want to talk about?
Well, we can mention that we're going to be meeting up with some guys out of Chicago tomorrow. And
yeah, that ought to be
an investigation.
Yeah, Nick and his crew. I don't know exactly who's coming with him. Oh, I do know Nick. Nick will be there. I'm not sure who is coming with him, but I doubt he's going to be the one driving. Well, I don't usually see him drive when I see his videos and stuff. They're on road trips. Okay. Usually someone else is driving. So, but with all the two groups, we should have everything covered. You know.
Yeah, I mean. Hopefully, definitely looking forward to it. So
hopefully it's active as active as it sounds, because she called me, what was it, earlier this week again about, you know, it being so active and freaking out. And
what kind of stuff was she saying is happening?
Well, The thing that caught me at the first, and I'll remind you again, the thing that caught me at the first was when she was having Thanksgiving dinner. He said he'll be here in about 2 minutes, setting up his computer. She was doing Thanksgiving dinner, and her family was there, and they were in the kitchen, and shit was being thrown at her, you know, like from the kitchen. But what she said this week was, like, one of her kids, and I'm not going to say the age because I don't remember exactly, woke up in the middle of the night and it felt like somebody was blowing in her ear.
Hmm.
But he was there. She's also been kind of, I don't want to put that, it'd be a harsh word, but, you know, been touched and stuff at night while she was sleeping, felt things. You know, I didn't want to say attack. Okay. That's kind of a harsh word, and it's not exactly what she used to explain it. But she and her fiance are definitely recently talking about leaving for their own sanity and for their kids' safety.
Right. Because
landlord is so closed-minded, he don't even believe anything's going on there. But yet some of her neighbors have moved out, broken their lease or whatever, moved out and just never looked back because of stuff going on. It's not just her apartment, it's the entire building, she says.
Yeah, I mean, that whole area is known for a lot of activities. So
yes, it is.
Well, I guess the question is, and will we be able to actually do some interviews with other people there besides?
I don't know. We got forms coming just in case.
Okay.
How you doing, Joe? Good to see you.
Hey, how you doing, guys? You doing okay?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Doing good.
You all right? Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yeah, sorry, man. I was running late. Had to go to stay work for a little bit late today, and I was running around trying to get here. So
it happens to the best of us, man. We're not too worried about it.
Okay, well, it happens to the best, then I guess I'm okay then, because I'm one of the worst.
No. You're no worse than you can't be any worse than the guy in the cowboy hat.
No, you can't be any worse than Mark. How many times have you shown up late?
I'm not wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, whatever. So how you been, Joe?
I've been doing pretty good. Been doing pretty good, man. Just trying to stay busy, man. And like I said, these last couple of weeks, we've been balls to the walls at work, man. Just busy. But that's a good thing, I guess.
I know how that goes. We're finishing up a transition where our company was taken over. We kind of merged, so.
Merged?
Yeah, kind of merged. Everybody, everybody went over to the new company, so. So I get it. It's been kind of heck. And then, of course, with that and then also the holiday sitting.
Yeah, the holidays were pretty rough. Got quite busy for a while there.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
tell us more about Beyond the Woodland.
Woodline. Yeah.
Beyond the Woodline podcast.
Right. Yeah. It's my podcast, and I cover everything from cryptids to paranormal, UFO, alien stuff. I've got tarot card readers, psychic mediums, remote viewers, all kinds of stuff. And it's going to be my show Monday. She's a young lady. She reads tarot and does astrology. So she should be really, 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 really cool person to have on. I've talked to her a few times already, of course, but she's super cool.
So, you were saying cryptids. Now, I can't remember exactly where it was I seen it, but I seen this video of these guys. I can't remember what woods they were in either. I wish I would have saved it because it was kind of cool. Dude's picking this skull up out of this creek.
Oh, yeah.
He's thinking it's a bear skull.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fake video.
It's a fake video?
Yeah. Yeah, you can actually buy that skull online. And the guy fessed up to it, but I'm not sure if he did it on purpose or not.
Like I said, I kind of ran across it. I didn't really do a lot of investigating into it.
So. Right, yeah.
That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, well, he certainly tried to present the video as the real deal. But, I mean, people caught on right away. And, I mean, that very skull is available anywhere. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I ran across it. I didn't take a lot of time to look at it because I was in a hurry and stuff. I think it would have been cool if it would have been real.
Yeah, I think so too. And I've actually seen a skull that that even like NASA biologists didn't even know what it was. Yeah. Yeah, I believe it was found here in the San Ysidro Forest here in Texas. And the guys that have it are local guys. And they had it shipped off and studied. And, you know, I don't think they got any DNA evidence off of it. But whatever it was, it's said to be an upright primate because of where the spinal column and the brainstem is at the base of the skull. That's one of the coolest things that I've seen.
The only real upright primate that I recall is Gigantopithecus.
Right.
I think all the others are kind of, they can walk upright if they want, and like the chimpanzee, the gorilla, the orangutan, but they're primarily, when they do move around on all fours.
Right, yeah.
And they're more scrunched over rather than upright on, you know, with standing and everything.
Yeah, they're more clumsy too when they're up on both 2 feet. Yeah, almost like a bear, really.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, we like the Bigfoot theories and stuff. The Patterson film, we always talk about that when we get a chance because I think out of all the video out there, I think the Patterson film is the most telling.
I think so too. I think it's probably the best one. It's certainly been the most scrutinized video probably of all time. But no one's really been able to debunk it. And I think, first of all, I think it's just a real deal, period.
Well, one of the things that strikes me about it when watching it, and they did do an enhancement of it. They didn't do any altering, but they did an enhancement so you could see the creature better. Mm-hmm. what really gets my attention is the fact that when it's walking, you can see the muscle movement in the legs.
Right.
Under the hair.
Right. You can see the thighs and the calves move. You're right.
If that was some sort of suit, you wouldn't be able to see that.
Right.
The only way you're really going to get that, and I've said this before, but the only way you're really going to get the muscle movement in that manner, plus it is a female too. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. It is a female. But is to get a woman that's in like a 6 foot, 6 foot six, 6 foot seven or something like that, to get a woman to actually agree to paste all that hair on her body and walk barefoot across those rocks.
Right, yeah.
You really think you're going to get, even with a large sum of money, you really think you're going to get a woman that's going to want to do that, especially back in the 60s?
Right. Well, maybe in the 60s. But, yeah. But, you know.
To actually paste all that, paste all the hair and stuff like that, too. I mean, that would be very time consuming.
Right, yeah. And she was estimated to be right around 7 feet.
Yeah, and exactly.
I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Bill Munns or knows who Bill Munns is, but he's a special effects guy. He was with the original Planet of the Apes, and I think he worked on the second one also with Mark Wahlberg. But he was saying that if this was a suit, it was better than anything Disney ever put out.
But it was those films in the 60s.
Right, and he was saying that the whole reason why on the Planet of the Apes on why they were wearing clothing was to hide the zippers and the and the latches and the straps, you know.
Yeah, but because, they still looked fake.
Yeah, they still looked fake, right? And he said also the Patty's arms are very long, right? They went almost to her knees, and he says even at that time they didn't have the arm extensions. No one had thought about making that. And he also did the measurements of like the proportions. He said the proportions were all wrong. Like you can put a man in a suit, but you can't fake the proportions from the elbow to the wrist, from the knees to the ankles, from the hips to the knees. You know, you can't fake that. Yeah.
Which and that's what I liked about the Patterson tape. I mean, with all the scrutiny, it still has not been.
It's right up on my wall right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It has not been proven to be fake.
Right, yeah. Or and if anything, they've actually proved it. There's been some guys that try to debunk it, and they wind up actually convincing themselves that it was the real deal.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Well, wasn't there a story that like one of these stories that came out in the newspapers that it was the guy that made the footage eventually came out and said it was a hoax?
Yeah, that itself was a hoax.
Yeah, that was like more of a publicity stunt, I think, to get more attention.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he never said that. Patterson and Gimlin, neither one of these guys have said that. And
right.
But another thing that was also said about them is that they actually purposely went there to film a Bigfoot. That was said, that they actually went there to film a Bigfoot. But I don't know if that was even true.
Yeah, they went there looking for Bigfoot, but you know, I think they ran across Patty, you know, and they had already wasted so much film. The film that they filmed her with was the last bit of their film that they had.
They got lucky.
Yeah,
they did get lucky.
Yeah,
but it is literally one of the coolest ones out there.
Right. So. Yeah.
So what got you started in doing this stuff?
You know, I've been interested in all this stuff since I was a little kid. And then I actually had a neighbor. He worked with my dad. And you're talking about the late 70s, early 80s. He had so many stories. And me and my brother would go across the street and just listen to him tell us stories about Bigfoot and ghosts and aliens and, you know, all these other kind of weird stories he would tell us. And that just really, really kind of fueled my curiosity at that point. And man, when I got old enough to cut grass and earn some money, with that money, that's what I would do. I would go buy books and just read up on as much stuff as I could. And so, you know, yeah. And even up through high school, I was always reading these books and trying to find reading anything I could get my hands on, right? And, but, you know, after high school, I got married, got kids, you know, and put all that on a back burner. But then right around the time the Bigfoot shows started coming out, more paranormal shows started coming out. It just kind of got me back into it. And, you know, I never looked back.
Yeah.
And now, yeah. So, got some. Okay. So now I'm the crazy guy in the family.
don't feel bad. I'm pretty much the black sheep of the family. So.
Yeah. I think we all are at this point.
Yep. But you know, everyone, I won't say everyone, but now like people in my family and friends and even coworkers, when something strange happens or something strange happens to someone they know, I'm the guy they contact, you know?
Yep. Yeah. As time goes on, since I think even since we started, it was less acceptable than it is now. But I think it's like more people are opening their minds to it.
Right.
You know, and it's becoming, you know, more, I guess, socially acceptable in our society to talk about it compared to 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
You know, where they might have back in the 70s, if you were to talk about it, oh, hey, I saw Bigfoot. You might end up in the nut house.
Right. Or you could literally be like ostracized from a community, you know, especially when people, you know, that are like in the Bible Belt, you know, they didn't want you talking about that stuff. Oh, hell yeah. You know?
Bible Belt's bad. And a lot of my family lives down in Oklahoma, and that's part of the Bible Belt down there.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, they always say, this is the feedback I would get from my family because of them being more of a religious type of family. That everything that I'm doing in this manner has something to do with the devil.
Right. Right.
That's it. They don't want to hear anything else. It all has to do with the devil. What you're seeing, what you're seeking is demons. What you're looking at is demons. What you're doing has to do with the devil and demons and and calling them forth to you to inhabit your soul. It's like, no, I don't think so. There's just way too much in this world. Now, I don't know if it's me or if you guys, if you're seeing it too, Joe. But I've noticed in the last couple of years, it's not just that it's been being accepted more. I feel like there's more activities happening, more things
going on. Well, especially when it comes to the UFO.
I wasn't talking to you, Joe. I was talking to the other Joe.
Yeah.
You just been waiting all night for that one.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I think there's a lot more acceptance in this field than what there used to be. And I think a lot more people are starting to come out now and tell their stories and tell their, you know, encounters and,
Well, it's not just the fact that people are coming out and talking about it more. I feel that there's a lot more activity, like more proof out there, more things happening in the sky.
Oh yeah,
more things showing up in the, you know, more like
Bigfoot. And that's why people are getting more
skinwalkers and stuff showing up in the areas.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
And see, I think that's another reason that our government has been forced to release all those top secret files on the UFOs and stuff. And also at the same time, if you've noticed, it gets talked about on the news a lot more than it used to.
Right. Yeah, people are actually reporting on it. Yeah.
Every now and then you'll see something on the news, and I'm talking like CNN type news, not just a local news channel. You know, pilot saw an unidentified flying object in the sky and had an encounter with it, but you know, it wasn't deemed Russian or Japan. It's like they don't know what it was.
Well, their last year
video.
Their last year, we had that object over Alaska that they didn't even say it even resembled a weather balloon or anything, but they still shot that sucker down. They didn't know what it was.
With just the simple fact that there's, you know, so much better cameras and everything out nowadays, and with the internet access everywhere now, you know, people are actually able to share and record this stuff a lot more. So
true. Right. So I guess for you, Joe, What is like the coolest thing you've ever encountered or caught or anything like that? And what kind and how often do you get to go out and do your investigations?
So I go out as much as I can. I used to go out like at least twice a month, right? But here, the last couple of years, I've kind of stopped that just because, man, I'm getting older, and these summers down here in Texas are just killer. So the last two summers, I've stayed out of the woods. I might go for a hike or something like that, or go visit a couple of my areas. But other than that, in the summertime, man, I try to stay out of there because it's just killing me at this point. But I go out when the weather's nice, when it's cooler, like it is now. Some of the coolest stuff that I've found or seen or experienced, I actually found a 3-inch footprint in the creek, way off trail. And it was kind of like, you know, who lets their kid or baby really at this point run around barefooted in the creek, you know? And this was like in the middle of like, I want to say it was like April. So it's snake season, snakes are everywhere. And this particular creek that I like to go down, I personally have seen copperheads, you know, water moccasins, you know.
Right.
So I know there's snakes there. And in any forest, really, there's going to be snakes. And that same creek in 2019, I found an 8-inch print, you know. But I've had stuff thrown at me. I've had, I've heard howls and growls. I've seen flashes of fur a couple of times, nothing really definitive. But we've got some really good audio, some really good wood knocks, some howls. But this last time I went out was maybe closer to 2 months now. We went out to where my friend had his encounter. That's how I actually met him, was he contacted me. And we would go out to his area. So now his area is like one of our top areas that we go and investigate. We get a lot of really good evidence there. We've actually found a hog with his head ripped off out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just ripped, no head anywhere in sight. We found a tree going into that, down that road going into that area, maybe not even 200 yards from that area. The branch was broken, hanging over the road, but it wasn't just broken, it was twisted like a dish rag. You're talking about a big, you know, maybe a 6-7 inch in diameter branch, just twisted, like, you know. I posted that picture and someone was like, well, that's probably from the wind, right? I'm like, well, first of all, that's the only branch here in this whole area that has any damage to it. And then someone was like, well, maybe it was like a big, like an 18 wheeler or something. I was like, again, the only branch the 18 wheeler would hit. You know, somebody said it was, maybe it was from an ice storm. I said, dude, this is in the middle of summertime, you know? So yeah, this area is a very, very good area. So the last time we went out there, I guess it was 2 months ago, and he pulls up right next to the woods. I mean, I opened up the door and I could literally grab him through the tree. And I heard what sounded like a truck moving. Maybe it was like maybe 5 feet away from me, and it moved back maybe an additional 10 feet. And you could just hear all this brush being displaced, right? Being moved. Mm-hmm. And so when we got off and I walked towards the back of the truck, and you know, my buddy Walter's like, you know, he's pointing like, hey, I hear it. And I'm like pointing to him like, yeah, I hear it too, right? Yeah. And so this time we turned our flashlights on and we're trying to see what the hell's going on. And so like we call that our 12 o'clock. So like towards our 2 o'clock, we heard more movement. Like something was actually like stepping, like loud, solid crunches. And we put our flashlights in that direction. And when we did that, back towards the 10 o'clock, we heard more movement. So by this time, I'm on the other side of the truck. We're standing in the middle of the road. And we're kind of looking around. He's like, I want to go down by that creek. And I said, dude, stay right here. Don't go anywhere. He's like, no, I want to go near that creek. Because that creek is where he had his sighting. And so he starts going towards that creek. I'm start walking down the road. And as I'm walking further down that road, he's going into that creek area. He's going into the woods at this point. There's like a little opening. And he's like, watch my back. You know, I'm like, dude, I got the whole other side of the road. It's all forest on that side. I'm like, I got the whole forest on my back, you know. I said, you need to, you know, be careful, watch your ass, you know. And he starts going down to this, you know, down that bank, and I hear this thud. Well, let me tell you the sequence of events that happened. I hear like this tongue pop. It was like this weirdest tongue pop, tongue clicking, whatever people want to call it. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, immediately after that, it sounded like something got thrown through the trees because you could hear the limbs hitting, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, there was a thud down the road from us, maybe, I don't know, 40 feet from us. And like what I tell everyone is like, it sounded like someone got like a basketball-sized rock and hit the ground really hard with it, right? So at that particular time, I was like, okay, that's just a distraction. I'm not going to look down that way. Well, I'm not going to go down that way and investigate. I'm going to stay over here by Walter. I could see his flashlight. I couldn't really see him, but I could see his flashlight. So I'm going down that creek, and there's actually like a little culvert that crosses, you know, that's packed with sand that you can cross, small cars can cross the creek with. It's really just a cheap little bridge, really. So I saw him going down that way. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go down on the other side of this culvert. This may be, I don't know, 20, 25 feet wide. I said, I'm going to go down this way. He's going towards the left. I'm going to go down towards the right. So as I'm getting close to that bank, I hear movement on the bank. And then I hear a couple of splashes, and it sounded like it was going under that culvert. So I immediately turned around and flashed my light. I was going to yell out. I was going to say Walter, right? As soon as I opened my mouth, he's coming up. He's like, nope, because they're down there. I hear them moving. They're in that culvert. And I said, well, let's get in the truck. Let's get the hell out of here. Because at this time, I was really, really feeling that we were surrounding or getting surrounded and that they were regrouping.
Yep.
And whatever it was, I'm telling you guys right now, they didn't run away. That's what kind of freaked me out. There was no vocalizations. You know, deer will blow at you, grunt at you, stomp at you. Hogs just walking around, you can hear them breathing and snorting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know any other animal would have like growled or hissed at
coyotes,
us.
Coyotes, coyotes yeah. would have yelled.
Yeah, yeah. Foxes, you know, foxes, you know, bobcats, you know. And whatever it was it was big, especially when I opened up that door. Like I said, it just sounded like the whole like a whole right. bunch of breath
any of those kind of creatures like that would react to your encroachment on their area.
Yeah, and they will bolt, and you know they would run away, and I know they would because I've had it happen hundreds of times.
Coons would take off. They'd actually scurry out and get away from you.
Right.
They're not gonna stand and fight.
Right. So we get back in the truck and we're driving down the road and we kind of talk about it, and we had like a 25-minute ride back to the camp. So as I'm replaying everything, the thud I heard in the road, initially I thought that it was a distraction and something got thrown, right? But as I got to replay the events, I don't think that's what it was because there was nothing in the road when we left. Like I said, it was one solid thud. It wasn't like a thud you hear it roll or tumble or anything like that. And so I think something jumped across the road, you know, behind us. And that's, you know, yeah. Yeah. So, and we were only there like 3 minutes tops, you know? But in those 3 minutes, I was really, really freaked out. It really freaked me out, you know? And,
so when you guys go out like that, do you go armed or are you?
Yeah. We usually go armed. That particular night, we didn't really plan on going out there. Cause Walter he works nights and man, he got to camp and we were grilling some food and he was falling asleep. So I said, man, he's tired. I don't want to take him out there. You know, I figured we stay around our camp area and go to this one bridge that we like to go to and hang out. And we get some activity out there on that one bridge. But we get out to that bridge and there's people fishing. I mean, there's probably like 10 people out there fishing. And I'm like, ah, man, you know, so we go out to this other little location that we like to go to. And there were people out there too. And I was like, he was like, well, do you want to go out to my area? Because I knew it was like a good little drive. It was like a 25-minute drive from our camping area. I was like, dude, if you want to go, we can go. So he's like, yeah, we'll go. But like, you know, like I said, I knew he was tired. So we really didn't plan on doing anything too much. But we usually leave like our recorders or trail cams out there. But we didn't this time because we didn't even have a chance to. Yeah. Yeah,
I was kind of wondering. You do put trail cams out,
right? Yeah, I've never gotten anything other than a gray mist one day, but that was it.
But, Yeah. That's interesting. I'm being serious on this. That is interesting. A gray mist.
Mm-hmm.
So you caught a gray mist. It's more like, can you explain what it actually looked like?
It looked like a mist, like a, like smoke, really, you know. Something set the camera off, of course, right? But then there was just like a gray mist there, like smoke, you know.
Ontario.
Yeah.
I gotta listen.
Yeah.
And I already know about the spirits. This house is 1900. It was built, and there's activity in my house. And not just that, I also draw in spirits that like to follow me around.
I draw in. Sorry. Yeah. Egg them on.
No, I draw them in. I'll egg them on if I have to. You
know. So I was watching a documentary the other day. Do you know that? Do you ever hear of the Ozark Hollow?
Right, yeah.
You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was watching I've seen a few different people on TV. They're the ones on TV that I've watched go after trying to find evidence and proof of this thing. Well, what I was watching the other night, they actually went and met with some witnesses, and they had audio, so they played back the audio, and it's funny because, again, this goes back to my theory of any cat can have this melatonin, you know, to be all black.
Yeah.
But basically, they kind of proved or kind of dismissed the whole Ozark Howler thing as just a large bobcat that's all black.
Ah.
Because the sounds and the tracks that were found, the experts basically put it all, the first thing they came to mind was bobcat.
Oh, my God.
You know, first thing that came to my mind when I heard that sound was bobcat. So it was pretty convincing, and I guess that's another way technology is proving how some of these things are just a misidentification.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I want to get back to that mist. The reason I say something about that.
Uh-oh.
We have a guy that we have been out to his property a couple of times.
We're going out there again in August.
And we are going back out there again in August to do some more investigations, do another opening. He has trail cams up around his property. And he's got, I think he said something in the neighborhood of 300,000 pictures already from these trail cams over the last 8 years, I think it's been. And he's got pictures of, off of one trail cam, an entire day of nothing but a gray, foggy-looking mist. It came in and it stayed in the picture and it kept getting triggered, so it kept getting pictures.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting too, because of the fact that he, you being into the cryptids and everything, you probably have heard of the Dog Man of Michigan, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Have you heard of the Beast of Bray Road?
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay. The Beast of Bray Road is the one that I'm talking about, and this gentleman that we go out to his place, he's not actually on Bray Road. He's about a cornfield distance away from Bray Road.
About a quarter mile away.
I don't think it's quite a quarter mile. I think it's closer than that. But his property, he has 34 acres of property that he grows hay on. So, because him and his wife have a horse boarding farm down in Illinois, and he has that property there, he comes up and harvests, I think, three times a year. But he's got intriguing photographs from his trail cams from being out there.
Well, not just that, he's also got the plaster casts.
he does have plastic casts, yes.
And the stories that he's got to tell are just unbelievable.
And he gave us some pictures too, and some of the pictures that he gave us are just outrageously crazy.
And his property was actually dubbed the Skinwalker Ranch of Wisconsin.
Not by us, by someone else.
Barnaby Jones from Caps.
But the reason I say that, though, is because with the activity that he's having and the activity that you're experiencing out in your area there, and then you capture that, and then here he's capturing a similar, you know, a similar kind of set. It just makes me wonder if there's some sort of connection like that too with a Bigfoot some sort of creature that may be similar or something.
You know, I think Bigfoot itself is a flesh and blood creature. I'm in the flesh and blood camp. But that's not to say that I don't think other things exist or there are other entities or even other beings, you know. So I believe that totally. But Bigfoot itself, I think it's just a flesh and blood creature. And I think anything that happens around it is coincidental. I don't think.
Well, I'm not doubting that it's a flesh and blood creature. But yeah. here's another thing that I'm kind of wondering, because there are people in the cryptid community that are saying that Bigfoot may also be an interdimensional creature because of the fact that we have very little evidence other than the footprints. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, I don't have any. I am not on the interdimensional, jumping through portals, turning into orbs. Other extraterrestrial being, I am not in that camp. I am very unpopular in the cryptid world. I made a lot of people mad with saying that, and it's funny because you have a camp that. Well, it's funny because you have the camp that says that they can turn into orbs. You have the camp that says that they are interdimensional. You have the camp that says they can open portals and jump through portals. You have the camp that says they cloak. You have the camp that says they're extraterrestrial beings. And you have a camp that says they're paranormal. There's a camp that says they're supernatural. You're talking about something that Marvel or DC Comics would love to freaking have at this point. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you.
So it's like it's got it. If it's all of these or one of them, we got to come to a decision here, but I'm also in the camp. But let's find a thing. Let's discover the thing and go from there. You know?
Well, yeah. You know, there are a lot of them too that are saying that it is, that they feel that it could be a descendant of the Neanderthal that has just kind of figured out a way of keeping itself hidden
and that's another thing too, because there are studies that are supposedly, you know, people have gotten DNA, however they say they've gotten it, and there are reports of varying that it's a non-human primate, that it is a primate, mm-hmm. that it's a human, that it's not a human. So
there's also those out there that are saying that it's a possibility that it is a evolved species of the Gigantopithecus.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that has learned how to avoid human contact.
That's just what I was going to say. What's to say the thing is not intelligent enough to hide its tracking, you know? Maybe it's got a thing like dogs do. They got a certain area where they take their dumps, and you ain't never going to find it because there's a lot of areas humans can't get through because it's too thick.
Well, if they take a dump in ponds or streams or lakes, you'll never find it. You know,
right? Yeah, any DNA evidence from it would be washed away in the streams or the lake, the river. Exactly. And then, what's to say we ain't the only ones? And science has proved this because, you know, there's a lot of other animals and species of stuff out there. That they don't have a ritual to bury or get rid of their dead.
Right. Well, you know, and then on top of that, the forest will take care of it. You know?
Right. Yeah. But still.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
What's to say they don't get rid of it faster.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, we can't be, we can't go around saying, you know, just because you can't communicate with them doesn't mean they don't have some type of intelligence, you know?
Right.
Well,
yeah. Oh, exactly. I think they're just extremely smart. And if you're looking at a forest, I don't know about where you guys live at, but here in the San Houston, I mean, it's literally so thick, especially after a couple of weeks of rain. I mean, you could put a T-Rex back there and you'd never see it, you know?
Well,
that's being honest. You know, that's
we're up in Wisconsin, and we have forests up here that are right. Like that.
Well, yeah, there's certain areas of the Kettle Moraine Forest that are basically you can't walk through.
Right, yeah.
There's no way in hell.
Yeah,
unless you got a chainsaw with you, you know.
Michigan has areas of forest that are really thick, you know. And, you know, in where I originally come from, California, shit, man, the California Sierra Nevadas up there,
mm-hmm.
I used to go up there all the time and hike and fish and camp and do stupid shit, but...
Yeah.
But there are areas up there where you don't even want to try and walk through because there's no way of getting through it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And then I've actually been on hikes in the California mountains where I've had mountain lions following me.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Following me to hunting me.
Well, basically, yeah. You don't know, and the thing is, you don't know when those things are following you.
I did.
Yeah, but. Just say most people aren't going to know that they're being followed.
Right? Well, no, the average person that goes up there and does that shit,
you get these amateurs that are out there, well, these people out there that are paranormal investigators, and they don't research the area well enough to know what wildlife is out there, they're not going to know what's going to be following them. I mean, you wouldn't even know a wolf pack was near until that thing had you surrounded and right. That one wolf came out to get your attention.
Yep. Right.
You know, right in front of you. In the meantime, the rest of them are ready to pounce.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Wolves. You know, basically hunting packs like raptors do.
I mean, people need to take that safety and the precaution when they go out, at least, especially if you're going in the woods searching for like Bigfoot or the Dog Man, know what's out there.
That's why I asked him if he goes armed or not.
Yeah. Most of the time we do go out there armed, and it's really
smart to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we go out there mainly for the only reason why we mainly carry guns is for other animals, because you're not going to take anything down with a pistol. It's hard enough to kill a hog with a .45, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I used to have a .357 revolver that I carried with me. Now I got a 9mm.
Okay.
We don't have to worry about the hogs. We'd have to worry about wolves, coyotes. Mountain lions,
rabbit coons,
whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
Cougars,
people,
cats,
people,
yeah,
lynx.
Yeah, lynx ain't nothing.
But
Joe, you're naming all these animals. Most of them, if you make noise and make yourself look bigger than them, they'll leave you the hell alone. They'll run away.
Spider.
Yeah, you know, and then
I used to work in the mountains there in California at one of the lodges, and one of my jobs on a Friday night was being night houseman for the lower Kuwait. During the day, I'd hand out clean sheets, clean towels, you know, clean linen, pillows, and everything else. And then for about 2 hours after that, I'd go around picking up the dirty linen. And then after that, up until midnight, I would chase bears out of the encampment. And it was interesting because brown and black bears, doesn't matter how big these frickers are, you come up on them making all kinds of noise, they'll take off running the other direction.
Right, yeah.
except for the little blind black bear that I chased up a tree, and he did not like me coming up under him. Yeah, it turned out he was blind, which really sucked, because I grown attached to him over the time I was there because of the fact that I was constantly chasing him out of the camp, and he was coming back in. And then the Rangers had to come in and get involved, and they peppered his ass with rock salt, but he still would come back.
Oh, wow.
And then they eventually picked him up, you know, and to transport him, and then they found out that he was blind. So instead of giving him to a zoo, which is what they should have done, they actually put him down.
Oh.
And it really broke my heart because, like I said, I had become very acquainted with this little guy.
What's up, Chris?
Anyway, let's get back to your stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be depressing.
No, you're good.
So, besides
the voice like they do here, though, you know,
well,
a bear like that bear would have found a home at the
McKenzie Center. He would have loved the McKenzie Center. I agree with that. So besides Bigfoots and stuff like that, what other things do you actually go out and do?
As cryptids? I've done a couple of paranormal investigations, but I actually lived in a house where we had a lot of paranormal activity, and that was it wasn't scary, but it was certainly unnerving at times. We had we were always hearing footsteps. We all saw some kind of shadow or figure at one point or time or another. We've all been poked or tapped on the shoulder or whatever. We've all had that happen to us. It was and I'm talking about, you know, me and my kids. I was sitting on the edge of the bed one day and I got jabbed in the ribs. You know, you're messed with somebody and you kind of poke them in the ribs, or, you know.
Yeah,
just the exact same sensation. You know. One day my daughter called me. She's like, "Hey, I made some tacos. We know some duck tacos if you want some." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll stop by." So by this time I was ready out of that house. And so I stopped by, and her boyfriend at the time, they were telling him stories about everything that happened. And I said, "Dude," I said, "these kitchen sink used to come on, the bathroom shower would come on." The bathroom shower, it had one of those big knobs you had to like pull out and then turn, you know, for hot or cold. That thing would just come on by itself. And so we were telling him this story. He's kind of like, he didn't believe in that stuff. And I mean, right on cue, the kitchen sink turns on, the faucet. It was so funny. He turned around and he looked over at it, walked to it, turned it off, was looking underneath the sink, and, you know, he couldn't figure out what happened.
Trying to see if you guys were creeping it.
Yeah, right, trying to figure out how it was rigged.
Yeah, right, and
trying to figure out how you rigged it to prank him.
Yeah, but when we all do that, though, I mean, we'd all look for an excuse. That's,
well, yeah,
that's what we do, is find those answers of why.
My cousin came over. He was going to do some remodeling on the hallway and then the master bath. And, of course, all my cousins were there, like four or five other ones. So that we were talking about it. And we're standing in the kitchen. And my cousin keeps looking down at his arm, and he's kind of like rubbing his arm. And when he keeps messing with his arm, me and my family were looking at him, and then we're looking at each other like, okay, something's going on with Manuel. And we just knew something was going on. And then finally he looks at my other cousin. He goes, "Dude, what are you doing to me?" It's like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're grabbing my arm." He goes, "Dude, I'm standing way over here." He said, "Well, I can feel somebody grabbing my arm, you know?" So he gets into the corner of the kitchen so that he can see the, you know, everyone there. And he keeps looking down at his arm, and he walks across to the kitchen, and he grabs my arm, and he grabs it like this really, really tight, and he squeezes it. He goes, "This is what it feels like, right?" So then at this point, we tell him about the house, about everything we've experienced, right? And the next morning, he came in to start working, and he holds his forearm up, and he's got these four finger-length bruises on his arm.
Wow.
Yeah, and we think that it was the, you know, the owners didn't want him to work on the house, you know.
Didn't want the remodeling to happen,
Yeah, but I every time, this was, man, over 10 years ago. So every time I see him, he talks about that. You know, that's one of the things we talk about. Is
it's kind of cool whenever people who are skeptics actually get things that happen to them, and then they can't explain it.
Right.
I actually love that when it happens.
Right. Yeah. I tell you something else. I tell you another crazy story that happened last year. Well, no, not last year. 2 years ago, I guess it'd be 2022. My mom turned 72. It was in April. My father passed away in 2012. So we had this party for my mom. We're at her house, and this was on a Sunday, actually. That Monday, my brother, my sister, my niece, my uncle, which is my dad's twin brother, and my aunt, his wife, were going to go to the cemetery to go visit my dad's gravesite. And that Monday, it rained. I knew that much. And then that Tuesday, I called my brother, said, hey, how did the trip go? You know, he's like, we wind up not going because it rained. So we're just going to reschedule it. I said, okay. He says, but I got something to tell you. And he goes, at the party, Maddie, which is my niece, she was 15 at that time.
Come back.
He said, Maddie came up to me and said, hey, I can hear Grandpa's voice. And he's saying that he's glad that, that Grandma's having a party, that she deserves it, and that he was happy for her, you know. So I was like, okay, well, that was cool, you know. He goes, but he says, when I called Uncle James, which is my dad's twin brother, on Monday to say, hey, let's not go because it's raining, he says, hey, your aunt heard your dad's voice at the party. And he told my aunt that he was glad my mom was having the party, that she deserved it, and when her time comes, he would be waiting for her. My aunt and my niece, neither one of them knew that the other had heard my dad's voice. You know, so that was that, that was pretty cool, really, that two people had the same experience.
That to me tells me that they are both sensitive.
Right. Well, we're definitely sure that my niece is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would tell me that they are both sensitive and can actually sense and see, hear, and feel spirits.
Right. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah. But I've always felt my dad when he was around, you know. I kind of went through a rough patch from 2017 to 2019, and he was always around. I guess he was kind of watching me through it, you know.
Yeah, 2017 is when I lost my mom, and 2019 is when I lost my dad.
Oh, wow.
And 2016 was the last year I got to see my mom. And 2017 was the last year I got to see my dad. It was at her funeral. Because my eldest sister decided she needed to move him out to Oklahoma with her. Mm-hmm. And then told me 2 days later after he passed.
Oh, wow. That's kind of crazy.
Didn't tell me on the day. Told me two days later.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hmm. Wasn't very happy about that. Yeah. So. But, no. I have, you know, I like working with crystals. I don't know if you do any of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I got a bunch of crystals right behind me. I got my crystals. I got my tarot cards. I got oracle cards. These are haunted dolls. They're not my haunted dolls. They belong to a friend of mine. I got my little REM pod. Yeah, I've got an EMF meter. Yeah, I got all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but I got crystals. I got a pendulum.
Yeah. So, I feel that whenever you do get crystals, that the crystal chooses you. You don't choose it.
Yeah. Most of the time. Sometimes I see a cool one and I want it.
That's because it called out to you.
Yeah.
But in 2016, on our way back from visiting my parents, we stayed the night in Vegas and went to In-N-Out Burger for lunch that day before we left Vegas. Mm-hmm. And when we came out of the In-N-Out Burger and was getting ready to leave, there was this little black pouch laying next to the back tire of the van that we were using. Mm-hmm. And I reached down and picked it up, and I could feel that there was something hard in it, and I didn't think anything of it until after we got in the van. I opened it up. When we were pulling out, I opened it up, and it was a black tourmaline.
Oh, nice.
That was it. Mm-hmm. So that crystal I know, found me for a reason, and I believe it was because of that particular crystal that helped me get through the loss of my mom. Yeah, it helped me come to terms with it.
Yeah.
So that's why when we were out there for her funeral, I was actually the pillar for the family.
So it's pretty cool.
What are you shaking your head for, boy? I don't know if he believes in crystals like I do.
I do, but, you know.
My mom died. I ended up in the bottom of a bottle.
What's that?
When my mom died, it was tequila. I drank a lot of tequila for like 3 days.
Mine was Jack. That was me, but we don't talk anymore. We're not friends. We don't get along.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't talk.
You and Jack don't get along
anymore either.
No, me and Jack, he goes his way, I go my way.
How far I will go.
Anyway, so what's up, or what's next for you there, Joe?
Well, like I said, I got my next show. I have Taylor. She's a really, really cool chick. If you guys check her out, man, I think you guys will love her. She's really cool. Like I said, she does tarot and astrology and, I think she got her degree in mental health, in the mental health field. So she kind of combines that and uses all that. You know, she's a really smart chick, man. And I'm sorry, I'm saying chick. Hope I don't offend anybody. But yeah, she's really cool, man. And then as far as for me, I got a trip going out to California in the end of this month, the end of January, to go see my grandbaby. I haven't seen her. And then in the end of February, I got a team from Canada coming here. We're going to do some paranormal and some cryptid research.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like loads of fun.
Yeah.
It does. I'm intrigued about the Bigfoot stories that you have in that area you're talking about. I think that would be cool to go out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you guys ever want to have me back on, man, I've got some pretty cool stories from the Sam Houston and, I actually got a UFO story real quick. I was fishing with my ex-father-in-law close to 20 years now, it has to be, and he's maybe 40, 50 feet down to my right, and he's like, "Hey, Joe, look, what's that?" He points up, and there's a freaking craft, a craft, not a light, not an orb, not a satellite, not Starlink, a freaking craft right above us, maybe 300 feet above us, and it's a round disc. All we could see was the bottom of it. But it flew right above us. You know, it's very, very slow, very smooth, no lights, no noise. That was one of the coolest things that I had experienced, too.
I've got tons of stories, too. I have seen probably 4 or 5 different crafts in my life.
Wow. It's pretty cool.
First one is when I was like 8 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All my kids have seen crafts, too. I think that's pretty cool that they've all seen it, too. So, all my kids, 3 of my kids, all I got.
It's like I said, I think the activities for UFOs and cryptids and stuff is ramping up. I don't know if it's because people have better cameras and more people have.
Well, I think it's also because there's just more of them probably visiting, and, you know, it's not like the world's going to go into a panic anymore.
We are in the middle of a change, by the way. We are in the middle of an awakening.
Yeah.
On this planet.
Something's going on.
Oh, it is. We are. We are.
So.
All right, Joe. Insane Joe.
Next Friday is probably going to be an open mic night, unless I find a guest.
Okay.
So, stay safe, everybody. Remember, anything's possible.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
It was cool.